Good day, friends. We come to you again with studies in the Word of God. In our last lesson, we were giving to you a brief word concerning this book of Genesis, and in fact for the whole Bible. For those of you who are listening in for the first time, we're just starting a new series of studies in the book of Genesis. And may I say, it is my purpose in doing this to give to you, as far as I know, the Word of God, how God's purposes and will is carried out through His people. Allow me again to repeat one or two things that I said in our last lesson, which was an introduction to the book of Genesis. When I tell you that the first 11 chapters, God is dealing with the whole human race. And then starting in at chapter 12, running to the end of the book, chapter 50, God is dealing with just four men, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph. He's dealing with a family. He seems to have turned his back on the whole human race. He let men go their own way. He gave them up to uncleanness, to vile affections, to a reprobate mind, as Romans chapter 1 declares. And he picked up this man, Abram, and through him, he's going to reveal his purposes and his counsel. And as I said before, this amazing book starts in the beginning, God, and the 50th chapter ends with man dead in a coffin in Egypt, and all that comes in between chapter 1 and chapter 50 is dealing with God, especially dealing with people, with individuals. You see, the human race, down through the centuries, has had no time for God. When sin came into the human race, it started a rebellion that continues right through to the present time. In fact, God had to cut off the human race at the flood and just preserve Noah and his family. And it wasn't very long after the flood that man again got into corruption. And for the first time, we have idolatry, as mentioned in chapter 10. Then in chapter 11, we have why God scattered them. Scattered the nations, the people among the nations of the earth. Languages were given in judgment. And God let them go their own way and picked up a man by the name of Abram. And through him, all the families of the earth are going to be blessed. What I'm trying to get to your heart is God had a purpose in making the earth, in creating man. And that purpose, in spite of the frailty and failure of man, in spite of his rebellion, God's purpose for man is yet going to be fulfilled. We'll see that a little later as we get into chapter 3. And I'm going to repeat what someone has well said. The Bible is couched in human language, addressed to human ears, written by human hands. But in the beginning, before it all happened, was God. And God used men to write what he wanted them to write. As 2 Peter 1:21 says, holy men of old wrote as they were moved upon by the Spirit of God. And as you know, the book of Genesis is the book of beginning, just as Exodus is the book of redemption and so on. Now we come first of all to creation. In chapter 1, verse 1 to chapter 2, verse 3, I'm just going to read the first two verses. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. The earth was without form and void. Darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. The evening and the morning were the first day. Now, I'm going to stop here for a moment. Who was the narrator of Genesis? Why, God. Who was the narrator of creation? Why, God. Man just wasn't even there. Huh? Man wasn't there. How do you know God didn't create the heavens and the earth by the word of his mouth? You weren't there. No scientist was there. Nobody was there. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. He spoke the word, and it was done. Let me read a verse or two from Job. I'm not going to take all the chapters out, but you take the book of Job, chapters 38 to 41. You remember the book of Job is an amazing book. In the first two chapters, you have God dealing with Satan, who accuses Job before God. And then you have God dealing with Job from chapter 3 to the end. Job is one of the best men that ever lived on earth. God's testimony for that. Have you seen my servant Job? Says God, he's a righteous man. He hates the evil, he does the good, and so on. But Job got a little self-righteous. And then God deals with him, first of all, through his philosophical friends. And that's followed by Elihu, the servant of God. And when they all get through with Job, Job doesn't move, see. Then I read that God answered Job out of the whirlwind. And he asked this question all the way through. Where were you? He said, I will demand of you an answer. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? He just wasn't. Where were you when he measured out the treasures, the measures thereof, stretched the line upon it, whereupon the foundations were fastened, laid the cornerstone thereof, when the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy and so forth and so on? Where were you? He just wasn't. God says, have you commanded the morning since thy days? No. Have you entered into the springs of the sea? Have you walked in the search of the depth of the sea? Have the gates of death opened to you? Have you seen the doors of the shadow of death? Have you perceived the breadth of the earth? Declare if you know it all. Where is the way where light dwelleth? And for darkness, where is the place of it? Have you entered into the treasures of the snow? Have you seen the treasures of the hail? Hath the rain a father? Who hath begotten the drops of dew? Can you influence the stars? Do you know the ordinances of the heavens? And he goes on, can you send lightnings? Can you say, here we are? And he goes on through these chapters. I'm not going to go any further. Chapters 38 to 41. There's no answer from Job. In fact, he puts his hand on his mouth. What can he say? Man wasn't there. Now, I'm not going to go into a long discourse concerning the various theories that scientists have concerning creation. Nor am I going to discuss the question of evolution. I'm just telling you, my friend, that God, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. What does man know about creation? He's plumbing in there. He's researching and searching and searching. What does he know about it? It wasn't written, by the way, to teach science or to teach history. The Word of God was given to us for the revelation of God himself in his purposes and his counsels. You see, man leaves God out, and the result is lawlessness and a humanistic philosophy which is rampant today. You might say to me, why, Mr. Mitchell, there are certain laws, and God never changes his laws. But let me remind you, behind every law is a personality. Things just didn't happen. Things didn't just happen. You say, well, creation came according to laws, and I tell you that there must be a personality behind the laws. There can't be a law without personality. That's why I come to the very first verse. In the beginning, God That's all. In the beginning, God. What did he do? He created the heavens and the earth. You see, he is from everlasting to everlasting. Amazing thing, you know, when you take the book. In the beginning, God. Do you know the last two verses written in the Bible? Written in 1 John chapter 5, verses 20 and 21. Do you remember that great passage of Scripture? In 1 John chapter 5, verses 20 and 21. Why you say, why not go to Revelation? No, I believe that the Revelation was written from the Isle of Patmos. The Epistle of John was written from Ephesus, as far as we know, after he came from the Isle of Patmos. Final revelation, listen to it. We know that the Son of God is come and hath given to us an understanding, that we may know him that is true, that we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. The beginning, in the beginning, God. Last verse written, little children, keep yourselves from idols. And through the whole book, what have you got? Man rejecting the revelation of God and worshiping idols. And the cry, the call of God to man is to turn to him. Like you have in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, of how in verse 9 and 10, how they turn to God from idols, to serve the living and true God and to wait for his Son from heaven, even Jesus, whom he raised from the dead, who hath delivered us from the coming wrath. I ask you the question, what place do you give God in your life? Without him, my friend, there's nothing left but death and lawlessness. I'm living in a day, and I must say this, I'm living in a day where we are seeing the fruitage of the vain philosophies of men, and especially a humanistic and a secular and a materialistic philosophy that has gripped the world. And the fruitage is lawlessness, moral corruption, sin, crime, immorality, and so on. Rule God out of your life, you rule in lawlessness. Rule the Word of God out of society, and you rule in corruption. And when a person neglects the Word of God, when a person rejects the Word of God, there's nothing left but sin, corruption. If I were to go to Corinthians, and I wasn't planning to do this, but let me suggest it. Every person who is listening to me today, you catalog yourself. You put yourself in the group to which you belong according to your attitude to the Word of God. For example, 1 Corinthians 2:14, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. The foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. The unsaved man rejects the Word of God. In chapter 3, the first four verses, you have the carnal man. This is the Christian who neglects the Word of God. Paul says, I want to talk to you as mature Christians, but I can't. You're acting like babies. I've got to feed you on milk instead of strong meat. You're carnal. Four times in four verses, he calls him carnal. This is the Christian who neglects the Word of God. In chapter 2:15, he that is spiritual is able to discern all things. He feeds on the Word of God. I come right back to it in the beginning. God, what place does he have in your life, in my life? What do you know about God? You just know what God has revealed to you. See, faith accepts what God has said. Truth comes by revelation. Truth is never imparted to your heart by argument. Spiritual truth only comes through revelation. You remember our Savior spoke of that in Matthew chapter 11, 25, when he said, "I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and the prudent. You have revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, it seemed good in your sight." Our Lord said to Peter, when Peter said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God," in Matthew 16, our Lord could say, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto thee, but my Father who is in heaven." In the beginning, God. Men try to find out where he came from. You can't find it, my friend. Nobody was there. You can't find it in creation. That's the work of his fingers, as the psalmist said. The heavens and the earth are the work of his fingers. He just spoke, came to existence. And what did he do? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Allow me to do this. In John's Gospel, chapter 1, the first verse, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made." Here you have in John chapter 1, goes even before Genesis 1:1. In Genesis 1:1, "In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth," is verse 3 of John 1. All things were made by him. In 1 John 1:1, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes." And this has to do with John 1:14, "The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." You mean that the Lord was there at creation? Yes, in Proverbs chapter 8, verses 22 and 31 to 20 to 31, where you have wisdom personified, which says, "I was with him when he made the worlds. I was as one brought up with him. I was his daily delight." When? Before there ever was a world. Before there ever was a creation. You see, God is from everlasting to everlasting. You take, for example, Hebrews 11:6. Do you remember that? "Without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." What is the writer saying? The thing that God loves is for people to trust him. And he's open to everyone who means business. God is accessible. You mean the eternal sovereign God? Yes, he's accessible. To who? To every heart that means business with him. Do you remember Revelation 1:18? "I am the first, I am the last. I am he that was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore. And I have the keys of death and of hell." You can Revelation chapter 4, verse 11. The whole heavenly host is praising God. What for? Because of his creation. Do you ever think of it? "For thou hast created all things, for thee they were created." You take in Micah chapter 5, a verse, second verse, which is used at Christmas time concerning our Savior. Out of Bethlehem, Judah will come one, whose goings forth have been from eternity of old. Let me read two verses from Isaiah 45, verse 12. God is saying, let me read the preceding verse. "Thus saith the Holy One of Israel, Jehovah, your Maker, ask me of things to come concerning my sons, and concerning the work of my hands, command ye me. I have made the earth and created man upon it. I, even I, my hands have stretched out the heavens, and all their hosts have I commanded." Verse 18, "For thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, God himself hath formed the earth and made it. He hath established it. He created it not in vain. He formed it to be inhabited. I am Jehovah. There is none else. One could go on the scriptures concerning this. I needn't go any further, for today at least. What did he do? He just spoke the word. As Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3 says, we understand that by faith the worlds were framed by the word of his mouth. He's God. You take, for example, in verse 3 of chapter 1, God said, let there be light, and light was. He just speaks, and it's done. You see. I want you to keep these things in your mind. You see. Now, next lesson will follow through these first two or three chapters. Now, may the Lord wonderfully bless you. And may his face shine upon you. And again, I ask the question, what place do you give God, the living God, in your heart? You see, Mr. Mitchell, I don't know much about him. I'll tell you one thing. If you mean business with God, God means business with you. Start and read your Bible. And if you have an open heart, an open mind, God will reveal this to you too. The Lord bless you for his name's sake.